Greetings and welcome to the Pressure Bioscience Inc. First Quarter 2018 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Richard Schumacher, CEO of Pressure Biosciences. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Michelle, and welcome, everybody. Welcome to the first quarter 2018. Hard to believe, but it's 2018, our financial review and business update. Before we begin, I need to read a cautionary statement. The following remarks may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from any future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Such factors include, among others, those detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We expressly disclaim any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements to reflect any change in our expectations or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which such statement is based. The agenda today is that Joe DiMaggio, Joe is, of course, the company's chief financial officer and vice president in charge of administration and finance. And Joe's going to give a brief overview of the first quarter financial results. We're going to follow with a brief general business update. And then afterwards, we're certainly pleased to take on a few questions. So, Joe, would you take us briefly through Q1 2018?
Thank you, Rick. The financial results for Q1 2018 versus Q1 2017. Total revenue for the first quarter ended March 31, 2018 was $611,000, compared to $551,000 for the same period in 2017, an 11% increase. This increase was primarily due to our double-digit growth in products and services. Products and services revenue was $585,000 for the first quarter of 2018, compared to $526,000 for the same quarter in 2017. Representing the 11% increase. Sales of instruments increased to $420,000 in Q1 2018 compared to $396,000 in Q1 2017, an increase of 8%. Sales of consumables were $75,000 for the first quarter of 2018 compared to $63,000 for the same period in 2017, an 18% increase. Grant revenue in Q1 2018 was $25,000 compared to $25,000 in Q1 2017. Our operating loss for Q1 2018 was $1.1 million, compared to $999,000 for the same period in 2017. This increase was due to primarily to headcount increases in sales and marketing and to research collaboration costs. Loss per common share, basic and diluted, was $1.64 for Q1 2018. Compared to the loss per common share of $2.16 for the same period in 2017. And with that, I pass it back to Rick.
Thanks, Joe. I'm going to briefly comment on the financial results and on the operational and technical results of the first quarter as reported in our press release and as detailed in our 10-Q filing, which is happening as we speak. Do we know if it's gone in yet, Joe?
It's going to be filed soon.
Okay, so it's going to be filed. We apologize for it. We actually are doing the phone call a day earlier because I'm traveling tomorrow, and it would be very tough for me to be on the phone. We didn't want to wait till Thursday, so we're filing today. It's just about ready to go in. We can talk a little bit about it, and then you'll have it by the time this phone call is over. So in terms of the highlights of the first quarter, I think the heading on the press release said a lot of it, that we approved the conversion of 6.39 million of debentures. These debentures represent 22 holders out of the 36, so they represent pretty much all of the largest holders, and we have a few others that have come in today, and we're very confident that we're going to get mostly all and perhaps all of the debt holders of the debentures. These are the debentures that we sold in 2015 and 16. They've been on the balance sheet for sometimes over 3 years, or just about 3 years, and certainly 2 years. And we've converted 92% of these debentures into a what we call Series AA preferred stock, which has blocker language, but it is a preferred stock. It is equity. So we've moved a very large amount of debt over. And as I said in my quote in the press release, we're continuing to talk to the rest of the debenture holders, and we're going to talk to the holders of other notes and the holder of the $4 million line of credit and the bridge loan. And we're going to talk with all of them to see if we can get as much of the debt as possible converted over. This is something that we need to do. We still have high hopes and expectations of moving up to a national exchange before the end of this year. To do that, we have to do several things, and one is we've got to clean up this balance sheet. And so we have negotiated a deal that we think is good for the company, good for the investors in the company, and good for the investors in the debenture. It's hard to make it good for everybody, but we think we did a good job with this. We need to get rid of this debt, and that's what we are doing. So although it didn't happen in the quarter, it happened before this conference call, so it's certainly one of the highlights of the quarter and the weeks afterwards leading up to this call today. During the quarter itself, we announced that we signed a two-year worldwide co-marketing distribution agreement with a company called ISS Incorporated. They are a global supplier of spectrophotometry equipment, which is using light to read light. And there are spectrophotometers in almost every lab you can walk into nowadays. And they're particular in that they sell what's called a high-pressure optical cell system. This is, they read the light as it goes through an optical cell under high pressure. And we believe that we have a way, and they believe that we have a way of generating the pressure in that cell much better than what's being used now. So we're doing a deal with them that basically is saying let their customers use our high-pressure generating equipment to generate the pressure because it can generate it faster, we think more safely, and we certainly think with a lot more ease. And very excited. The first mailing just went out just a couple of weeks ago. I believe there are thousands of people in their database, and they all received an email from the company explaining what we have and why they should be looking at it. We're going to do our own mailing, so we're very excited about what this could mean to us. It doesn't happen overnight, but it is happening now, and we've already been getting some responses just from the mailing of just the past few days and the past week or two. We also reported that we signed our first contract. This, again, didn't happen during the actual quarter. It happened about a month ago after the quarter, but we're very excited to say that the intellectual property we acquired from Verifold, please recall that they said in the meeting we had on December 20th that they think they put in over $20 million into their intellectual property. We bought the intellectual property for $150,000 cash and 150,000 shares, which at today's price around $4 is about $600,000. So it's about $750,000 total to purchase all of the assets of Verifold, which includes their knowledge base, their customer base, and particularly their patents, patent pendings, issued patents. And as they said during that phone call we had, they think they put about $20 million into that IP, and now we own that. We have not started to market. Again, it deals with high pressure. Everything we do at Pressure Biosciences has to do with pressure, some low, some high, and most of it in between the two, turning it on and off like a light switch, cycling the pressure, turning it on and off. And with this technology, they're able to help make a better, more uniform, a higher quality protein drug in many cases. And so there are about 20% of all drugs on the market are protein-based. Remember that 30 years ago, almost all drugs were chemical. Now most drugs are biologic, and about 20% of those are protein-based. And the problem with the protein-based drugs is you make them in the lab, you make the proteins in the lab, and they have this knack of aggregating together sometimes. If you think of the protein as a ball of yarn, a perfect ball of yarn with all the colors of the yarn exactly in the right places, because a protein has to have all of their peptides in the exact same place in order to have its function correct. And if it isn't, it loses function. Sometimes it even becomes deleterious, can actually hurt someone if it's used as a drug. So the protein needs to be folded upon itself in exactly the right tertiary structure or three-dimensional structure for it to be active and for it to be helpful. And when it doesn't fold correctly, there can be a problem. And so with this analogy of a ball of yarn, all the colors are folded over exactly the right way, and sometimes they're not. And what we've found out over the years is that if you put that protein in a pressure chamber and put it under pressure, and then you release the pressure, it will unfold and refold those proteins. And generally speaking, they will fold back to their correct configuration and have their activity again and not be hurtful. And so that patent that was given to, awarded to multiple patents, that awarded to Barrifold a few years ago, and new patents that they filed to extend their existing patents, pretty much all deal with the folding and unfolding and disaggregation, breaking the aggregates, the clumps apart, so that the proteins are more by themselves and not aggregated with other proteins. So to do this, you need pressure. We now own those technologies. We haven't started to go to the customer base yet. The customer base is very nicely much of the same customer base we go to now. A different area of the company, but certainly we go to the biopharma companies of the world with our equipment. We now go to them, or we will be going to them, with this new technology. We're excited because one of the one very large multinational multi-billion-dollar company called us and said, "We know you purchased the patents, and we have a client who's having a problem with their protein drug. They're making it in the lab, and it has problems with aggregation." And it has problems with misfolding, which is a typical problem of protein drugs. And they said, "We've tried the normal chemical and dialysis and other methods, and we're not fixing it. We'd like you to try." And so we put together a proposal, which they accepted. We asked for money down, which they accepted. We're just about done the first phase, and this will probably lead to a phase two, which could be in the six-figure range of a service program. First one was in a five-figure range. And very excited that without any advertising and just really getting our feet wet, we'll receive virtually half of what we paid in cash for this technology. So it's exciting for us to be able to do this. It's exciting because it's exactly what we thought. Companies developing protein-based drugs are going to come to us and say, "We need your ability to fix our problem. Give us a quote." So we're excited that also happened in the few weeks after the end of the first quarter, and of course also in the first quarter last month we had a month and a half ago a conference call talking about the finances of the year and last year. And all of the results that we had from a very good 2017. So 2017 was our third consecutive year with increased total revenue. The first quarter of 2018 was our ninth consecutive quarter where our products and services revenue increased over the same quarter previous year or year over year. And so our goal is to continue that in the second quarter. And we're working hard towards that, and we at this time we're optimistic that we're going to be able to do that for the second quarter. So, as Joe mentioned, we had a good first quarter. We hope that our good first quarters or good quarters can become great and even better than great. But remember, we've just hired a sales team. We've had one person for 10 years. Now we have four people, And we've had a little bit of turnover. We talked about that in March, at the end of March, that we had two of the three people we hired left for different reasons, and we've rehired and retrained. So we finally have three people that are trained and out in the field, really for the first time since we started this almost a year ago. A lot of good stuff is going on in the company. So again, we had a good quarter, and I hope before the end of this year we'll be talking about even great quarters. So I think at this point I'm going to turn it over, Michelle, to the folks who've taken time out of their busy day to join us, and we'll take a few questions.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question comes from the line of Randy Bonito with J.H. Darby. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, guys. Randy from J.H. Darby. Congrats on the quarter.
Hi, Randy. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. A couple months ago, one of my colleagues, Gary, introduced me to the company and asked if I can get involved. And as an investor, I'm pretty glad I did. This is the best news I've seen regarding, you know, some of the cap structures out there. And with the conversion of, what, 6.3 or 6.4 million of debt into equity, that's probably a lot of work and a phenomenal job getting that done. So congrats on the year-over-year sales. But can you tell me, I know you mentioned briefly, but do you have any immediate plans or otherwise to convert or reduce the remaining debt? And if so, how quickly do you think you can get that resolved?
We would like to convert. We have there's about 14 million of loans of debt. I'm talking loans now on the balance sheet, not talking about trade debt. And of that 14 million or 14 and a half million, there's about 12 million that is owned by some of these, some or all of these 38 investors who've come in over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. So there's a line of credit for $4 million. There's a bridge loan for $725,000. There's other small loans we've taken from investors. And then there's the rest of the debentures, Randy, that add up to about $750,000. So I would say there's close to an equal amount of debt out there that's from the same group of investors. I will say that these investors are patient, but every investor is patient for only so long. They're patient. They had an opportunity over the last 2, 3, 4 years to convert their debt at a profit and sell, and they haven't. So I think that says a lot about it, about them. They are investors primarily in equity, and yet they came into this debt debenture in the hope that it would convert into equity and that they would make money on that equity. So that as a background, I can tell you that there's probably close to an equal amount of debt. And our goal, Joe and myself and others, our goal, Jeff Peterson, our chairman, is to get in touch with all of these individuals, let them know that we would like them to convert, let them know why it's important. We still have our plans this year and our expectations to move the company up to a national exchange, and this debt needs to be converted. And the fact that I can tell you that it took only about a week to get 92% of the debenture holders, which is 22 of them, 92% of the value converted, we feel pretty optimistic, Randy, that we're going to be successful. There's no telling what will happen. We're optimistic that we have a good vehicle for them to convert into. There's a good reason for them to want to convert, and we're shown that 92% of one of the three buckets of debt converted pretty quickly. So I appreciate the kind words, and we remain optimistic that that this is not the end of the conversion of debt.
Great work, and luckily you have a lot of weeks to go in the rest of the year to get that done for the uplisting.
We do. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jeffrey Scott with Scott Asset Management. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Hi, Jeff.
The agreement that you have for the pre-EMT, it's not a license. It's an agreement or a contract, right?
Correct.
What is required of you to perform under that contract?
The first thing that has to be done is we, you know, and it's the fairest thing to do for the client. The client is going to be a most likely a biopharmaceutical company that's spent a lot of money and a lot of time, maybe years, and maybe millions of dollars developing a protein drug, and they're having problem making that drug in the laboratory, making that protein in the laboratory. So they're reaching out, and there's multiple ways to fix it, and we're one. Pressure is one. We think we're the cleanest, fastest, and maybe the best, but, you know, we just got into this, and we haven't started to market it. So so the right thing to do is to, first of all, make sure that our technology has a chance of working with their protein. All proteins are not the same. There are some proteins that just are unbelievably malleable, changeable when you put them under pressure. There's other proteins that just don't change at all. And so the first thing we do is we charge a fee, and I can tell you it's a good fee for the company. We charge a fair fee, but steep, to do a number of experiments in our lab with their protein to prove that under certain pressure and certain conditions, we can affect the protein. And if we do all these conditions and nothing happens, then it's going to be up to the company to say, I don't care, I want you to go further, but or I appreciate you doing this, we're not going to go further because the chance of success is so small. Now, the reverse of that, Jeff, is if we do these studies and we have a protein that shows that it does react to the pressure that we exert on it, then that's the type of data we go back, and that gets everybody happy, gets them happy because they need us to fix their problem, gets us happy because we're going to charge them to fix their problem.
Okay, so as I understand it, the work is actually going to be done in your labs by your people, right?
Yes.
Which is actually quite good because you'll know exactly what the results are.
Yes.
As opposed to if it were done in their labs with their people, you'd have to ask them to share the results, and they may or they may not.
There's human nature, there's embarrassment, there's mistakes, there's all kinds of things that can happen where if we farmed it out, somebody else could, you know, could cover it up. Not saying they would. You hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head, yes.
If it's done in your lab, you benefit from all of that research knowledge of what works, what doesn't work, and that'll take you a couple steps down the road, making sure if it doesn't work the first time, it might work the second or third time.
Correct. This is so you're hitting the nail on the head. This is so terrific for us. I might have said it on a previous, maybe on December 20th. I fully did not expect to be receiving revenue, certainly before the fall. We needed to get our feet wet. We needed to set up the lab, but we couldn't turn down this opportunity because this is a extremely well-known, large, multinational company whose client is having a problem. So the fact that we took it on, I believe is going to tell us that they're going to bring us other clients too, because there are hundreds I read the other day 212 or 242 protein drugs on the market right now, and there's many more of that being developed. So our shingle's out, we're open for business. We're going to learn from it. There's no doubt about it. We're going to learn from it, but we're protein experts. The guys in R&D are just, I'm just so astounded at how smart and they are and how knowledgeable they are in protein. So that's why we bought this company. I'm just, you know, tickled pink that in the first 4 months or 4.5 months, we're going to get about half of the cash back from an initial study, which I believe has a very good chance to go on to a second phase, which I believe will probably be much more expensive because it'll be much more inclusive.
Okay. Next question. You said 22 out of the 36 holders had agreed to convert. That was as of what date? As of yesterday.
Two more that we know of converted today. I know most of the people who have not converted yet. family and friends, and a lot of them, whenever anything comes from the company, they give me a call and say, what's this all about? I've not been reachable for about 5 days. If you think about all the work, I think Randy alluded to it, you know, this is a lot of work. When you think about all the work of putting the deal together and then getting things together and all the legal and then adding the 10Q and the press release and this conference call, I've been sort of out of touch with people.
Yes, okay.
So
that's as of yesterday. So, for instance, I sent in my conversion notice Friday afternoon late or Saturday morning or something like that. That would be included in that 22.
How did you send it in, Jeff?
I faxed it to Kathy.
Okay. Yes, it would be included.
Okay. Question on ISS. What are you going? What piece of equipment are you going to? Are they going to be selling included with theirs?
Well, you know, they're marketing it. They're not really selling it. Right now, the deal is that they're going when they go to their customers and the customer. Remember, they have hundreds and hundreds of customers. And maybe dozens of them will use the high pressure cell that they've developed, and so dozens of these, and I think dozens more would be using it if there was a better way of getting pressure. That's what we think. So we think the market is not in the few dozen. We think it's in the many dozens. So they're going to introduce a new way for the pressure to be generated. I don't know. This may be a terrible analogy, but it's like you want to pump up your tire of your car with a hand pump where you have to do it yourself, or do you want to put it on with a little pump and turn an electrical pump and boom, it's done. That's kind of the difference. A lot of the people that their customers now are using more manual systems to get the pressure to be elevated. We can do that very quickly and extremely efficiently through our pressure generator. So they're gonna bring flyers and brochures and explain who PBI is and explain that we have a better way for them to get pressure. We will sell and install the pressure generator. They will sell and install their spectrophotometer and the pressure cell.
But it will take two people to install it, one for their equipment, one for your equipment?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
But it's not a Barocycler that is being sold. It's something else.
It is a Barocycler, but it's not the Barocycler that you're thinking of. It's not the one that we have over 300 out in the 2320.
It's a very simplified
it's not that
version
one.
Of it.
This is what we call the hub, the HUB.
Yeah.
And there was one down in that office building that you're in North Carolina years. I don't know if you ever saw it, but there was one down there for a couple of months. They were trying it out.
In LEAP?
Yes.
Okay.
But they don't, LEAP's been sold since and all that. So, it is our hub, named after Professor Hubble of UCLA, who helped us develop it, a world renowned protein scientist and a wonderful human being. And so the hub is what we sell, and it generates pressure, and it costs about the same as our 2320, and it has about the same profit margin, so we're going to do okay. We're going to do okay. The difference is we've just kind of gained an entire marketing arm in ISS, and all their emails, and they have a mailing list in the thousands, just like we do. And we're going to help support. If we can help sell their spectrophotometers, and whoever's buying it wants an optical cell, they're going to buy our equipment. So it's costing us very little, except some time on doing mailing, and we're going to get the advantage of a mailing list that's probably bigger than ours, and ours is 8,000 people long.
If I understand it correctly, you'll be selling a machine, but there will not be any use of consumables to go with that machine?
Correct. Right? No, that's correct right now.
So it'll be a machine. It'll be a one-time revenue shot as opposed to a sale plus consumables over time.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Which is what our hub model is. However, we believe that down the road there's a way to make modifications that would make the whole system better, the ISS and the PBIO system better, that could also utilize consumables. So we're not there yet. Right now we're just kind of getting our feet wet.
What do you have to do to step up the manufacturing for this hub machine?
It's a good question. The 2320 was CE marked, and the 2320 Extreme, as you know, in 11 months or 10 months, we got it CE marked, which is astounding to me. So our main instrument is CE marked. Our hub is not. So to step it up in the U.S., we don't need CE marking. But in Europe and 80 some countries around the world, it requires CE marking. So we need to build it in a quality system, just like we do the 2320. We build the hub ourselves. Our goal is to eventually, maybe before the year is out, turn it over to our contract manufacturer, which is CBM, wonderful company. We've talked about them before. They're 15 miles from here, and they make the 2320 Extreme for us. We want them to make the hub for us, so the goal is before the end of the year to start the process of building it with them with their ISO certification, and then to get the CE mark. Right now, we don't need it. Right now, we can sell enough of these in the U.S. where we don't need that CE mark, that we're okay.
Is ISS predominantly is their customer base predominantly U.S.?
Like us,
you don't need the CE mark?
Yes. Like us, they are predominantly U.S., but they also sell overseas. But they're predominantly U.S. You know, we're probably 70%, 75% U.S., 25% overseas. I'm going to guess they're not much different. So since it takes time to learn and work and install and work with them, you know, it'd be a lot easier to do it if we're doing it in Providence, Rhode Island, 40 minutes from here, rather than in Prague, Czechoslovakia. So
indeed. Okay, I appreciate it, Rick. Well done.
Jeff, one thing to add to your first question. Very good questions, but one thing I would add to it is the ultimate goal is to try to find a company whose protein drug responds so well to pressure that they need, not that they want, but they need to build in the pressurization for the folding, refolding as part of their manufacturing process. And if they do, we will expect to charge a royalty on the sale of that drug. And so we'll do well if we never get to the point of licensing and getting a royalty. We'll do well. We'll make money on every time we do a study with somebody. We'll make money. But imagine what will happen if someone's protein drug works extremely well and we're the reason that they become a $1 billion drug. Imagine what a nice little royalty on that might be to our company. So we've got a bag of gold at the end of a rainbow. We may never reach it, but we'll have fun trying. But while we're trying, we're going to get paid and make money on all these service agreements.
As I understand it, the yield on the protein manufacturing is just abysmal. And anything that would double or triple or quintuple the yield would be very significant in terms of cost savings on the total manufacturing process.
You're absolutely right.
If you can help, you know, if pressure will do that, it would have a significant effect on that pharma's cost of manufacture, and obviously you'll benefit from it. So
one of the if you go to Barifold.com. We've kept their website up as we're now moving it over to ours. And I just happened to go through it again last week looking for something. And they said on multiple pages of their website, they said, we believe that we can make the manufacturing process more efficient for the biomanufacturer of protein drugs. So you're hitting that nail on the head too. We need to get really into this a lot. But I can tell you that Barifold, and they spent 10 or 12 years working on this technology, they felt absolutely certain that they not only could make it and higher quality, they could make it more efficiently. So we're excited on what we got for what we paid. I think our shareholders did very well with that purchase.
Thanks, Rick. I'll get back in the queue.
Yep.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Grant Nixon with WGN Benefits. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Grant. How are things out in Coeur d'Alene?
Very good. Sunshine. The question I have is you've tried several times to get on the NASDAQ, and when is your ETA on that, and how are you going to, when the institutional investors come in and trying to balance out retail versus industrial or portfolio management to make sure that, because you're going to need to have that retail side, how are you guys going to address the retail side to make sure everybody knows about the wonderful things you guys are doing?
You know, those are good questions, and I know you realize, I think you realize I can't answer many of them very well because of the fact that we haven't discussed any of that publicly. So I can tell you that everything you said is a concern to us, and that we are certainly looking at all of those. We understand that we have to answer the questions you just asked. We're actually already answering some of them. I can't tell you how, when, where. I can tell you our ETA is this year. I said it in my quote today. Our goal was last year. We failed. We hired a bank. The bank didn't raise the money. The bank did not give us a pipe that we could agree to. So we ended the year 15 months, 18 months, spending $250,000 and not having anything to show for it. So we need to do the uplist again. And it's our goal to do the uplist. So it's our goal to do it this year. You've asked some questions. There's many more. It's not an easy process. But I am as optimistic as I was this time last year that we will do it. In fact, I'm a little more optimistic because having gone through it once and seeing where the failure was, we're not going to let that happen again. So I believe that a lot of moving parts here. And obviously the conversion of 6.3 million and perhaps the conversion of more is an integral part of that. We could not go on NASDAQ with that 12 million in debt on the balance sheet.
Right.
So converting the first 6 million and trying to convert the next is an integral part of any move up. So we've had a number of phone calls, Joe and I, from people who've said, I really applaud, you had a good quarter, but the most important thing is you finally taking care of right-sizing your balance sheet, getting it cleaned up, and that is what excites me the most. So we've had, like Randy said on the first call, we've had a number of calls, Grant, that, you know, make us think that everyone understands that this is something that had to be done, and now we're finally getting around to doing it. Not because we put it off, but there's just so many moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dan Wong, who's a private investor. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, Rick, congratulations again on the quarter there. I know you already talked about the $6.39 million being converted to preferred, but, you know, you talk about retail guys and people kind of understand, and wanted you to maybe discuss a bit more about what kind of position that puts the company in and kind of what other opportunities that creates for the company down the line here.
You know, Dan, the conversion of the debt today was, in my opinion, one of the most important things we've done in a long time. Now, we've done a lot of important things. The purchase of the assets of Barrifold are really going to help our shareholders. The conversion of the debt and any potential future conversion of the debt is going to have an amazing impact. I can tell you, I know you're an investor. I know that you've been in the capital markets. I'll turn the tables and ask you, how important is it when you're investing in a company? Do you look at the balance sheet? Does it bother you or not if the company has 12 or 14 million in debt like we do? Does that affect your judgment on whether you want to invest in that company?
Absolutely, and I think that's the biggest point to make here, is that you kind of help make sure everyone understands that, you know, what a big accomplishment that is and what kind of, you know, opportunity that opens up for the future.
So, and if we're so fortunate that we're able to convert some or maybe all or most, whatever, of the remaining 6 million from the same investor base that brought in all of these different vehicles we talked about, that to you, is that important?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it has been on our short list for quite some time. In fact, I can tell you, because it's public, if you go back to the S-1 last June, the S-1 clearly stated that all of the shareholders, all of the holders of the debt last year had agreed to convert the debt into the deal that we were proposing to do with the S-1. Every one of them, all 38. Might be 36, so don't hold me to that number, but 36 or 38. Every one of them agreed, 100% agreed to convert. So now we've gone back to the same group because it's the same debt, and within a week we had we have about half of it already agreed, and we're optimistic that we will get where we want to get with the remaining half. So I know you realize how important it is, and I know that Randy and Jeff realize how important it is, and Joe and I are sitting here shaking our heads and saying this is one of the most important things that we have to do over the next 30 days. Is get in touch with all the debt holders, not just the line of credit and the debenture and the bridge, but all of the smaller loans. We've taken a number of smaller loans from people we know and people we don't know, and we want to get in touch with everybody and say, how would you like to maybe own a piece of this company? How would you like to convert that debt into the same vehicle that others have? And so, you know, how effective it'll be, I don't know, but we won't know till we try. So it is a major, I think it's one of the most important things we can do going forward is, not just the other 6 million of the similar debt, but even the other 2 or 2.5 million of the smaller debt, 50 grand here, 100 grand there, 150 grand there. We need to go to everybody and tell them what we're doing and, see if they, are interested in converting that debt, because the more debt we convert, the cleaner the balance sheet is, and the less we have to pay back.
And would I assume that make it easier when you do go to Uplist to raise the money to do that?
It's a necessity. There's no way that, you know, we have to have a positive net worth of, I believe it's around $5 million, Joe?
Initially, yes.
Initially, $5 million. So we have to have an initial positive net worth of $5 million. That's tough to do if you've got $14 million in debt on the liability side. It's a lot easier to get to that $5 million number if you take 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 of that $14 million and convert it into equity. So, yes, the answer is yes. It's a major step towards an uplist.
Well, thank you. Congrats on that.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. Richard Schumacher for any closing remarks.
I think everyone's been great. I appreciate this. I know this was a little rushed. We normally put the notice of this meeting out a couple of days ahead, and we put it out this morning. We were working, quite frankly, on the conversion, and we wanted to have this news, and we wanted to get as many people in as possible. And having one person convert for $100,000 is not what we wanted. And so we put a lot of effort, and I apologize because the notice of this meeting should have gone out on Friday and then Monday morning and went out this morning. But I'm glad we had several dozen at least people on the call, which is about normal. It's taped, so we'll make sure we tell everybody that if you missed it, then it's available starting tomorrow. I appreciate all the positives. I can assure you that Grant's points are well made. We have got to focus on getting this uplist done this year. It's our goal this year, and we see today's announcement as the first part, not the last part, but the first part of that road that we intend to succeed on this time around. So, Michelle, I'm all set, and we'll be back in the middle of August to everybody with the second quarter. So far, second quarter, our goal is to continue to make it 10 consecutive quarters with our products and services revenue exceeding the same quarter previous year. And our second goal is to make it, a much better quarter, much higher increases. So with a lot of stuff in place, I believe that is all very possible. Right now, we're very optimistic about the second quarter and the rest of the year. So thanks again for joining us, everyone.